Welcome to Ultimate Sports Parent Radio, where we help parents and coaches instill confidence and ensure success in young athletes.
This is Lisa Cohn. Today on Ultimate Sports Parent Radio, I'm here with Michael Sands, a sports parent in Beverly Hills. He's here to talk about favoritism in high school football. Joining us is my brother, mental game coach, Dr. Patrick Cohn.
Get our new program, The Ultimate Sports Parent, a 14-day plan for kids' success in sports, by visiting the product section of youthsportspsychology.com. You'll learn how much pressure is too much, what to do when kids underperform, how to react to kids' losses, how to deal with difficult coaches, little playing time, and more. Visit youthsportspsychology.com, and while you're there, pick up our free ebook.
Hi, Michael. Hi, Patrick.
Hi, Lisa. Hi, Michael.
Hey, Dr. Patrick.
So Michael, how old? So it's high school football, and they're coached by volunteers, correct?
Right. Basically, at Beverly Hills High School, we have an athletic director, and then we have a varsity coach, we have a JV coach, several coaches, and also the freshman team has a paid coach, but many of the other ones are volunteer coaches. And actually, in some of the teams, each team basically, they have volunteer coaches that they don't pay any money to.
Mm-hmm.
To coach during the football season,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, unfortunately has gone into some of these volunteer coaches charging fees to teach the freshman football players and some sophomore football players coaching on the weekends away from the high school schedule, which is actually a physical education class, which is period seven, and they get graded on the sport. And there seems to be nepotism. One coach is charging $40 to teach football players, you know, how to catch, how to throw the ball. That should be done during school hours. Now, my feeling is that when the season is over, sure, if a volunteer coach wants to make money with some of the kids that may want to participate, fine. But during the season, there should be no favoritism or nepotism because someone is paying $40 an hour on the weekends to be trained by a volunteer coach. And by the way, the athletic director knew nothing about it, nor did the varsity coach know anything about it.
Well, it seems to me that this is pretty common. Patrick, what would you say? It seems pretty – I'm in Portland, Oregon. I've certainly heard lots of stories about this.
Well, I was just thinking, like, as you were going through the scenario, I'm thinking, okay, well, my daughter goes to a regular academy. We pay for the academy. It's outside of the school situation. But I'll hire a specialist to work on what's called functional training. Or, you know, it helps with her agility. It's basically agility training. So I spend an extra $25 an hour per week for her to work with an agility trainer. Now, it's a little bit different scenario, obviously, because it's not a school setting. We're in an academy setting. It's a paid-for setting. However, I see a lot of the high schoolers will actually come in, and they'll, you know, people that do it are trained, though. They're not volunteers. They're charging 25 to 30 hours, $30 an hour to do functional training with the high school players. So in today's world, I see a lot of parents going outside their organized sports, whether it's a high school team or whether it's a tennis academy, for example, and purchasing additional help for their kids. Now, you're saying that's unfair because the kids should be getting that in their seventh period, and that's it. Is that
what I'm saying is this is like taking an English class or a math class. In Beverly Hills, in this particular school district, yes, we are all allowed to hire a school teacher to tutor our kid in any subject, but it cannot be from the same class or the same school during, you know, who teaches your child during a period.
Uh-huh.
So that's the difference here. Sure, I don't see anything wrong because of club sports and, you know, AYSO or Little League Baseball. But when you are in a public school, I feel, and a teacher's volunteering, then during that time that everybody should be equal playing ground, that there should be no favoritism. Yeah, if the kid's better, sure, he should play. But just because the kid's paying to play, which is unethical, and there's no integrity, and the school just found out about it, and they just sort of slapped the guy on the hand and said, don't do it again, which they should have immediately dismissed him because he, or they should have taught him the rules from the get-go, that we, the parents, are not allowed to hire anyone who teaches a class, you know, that is a regular class, like English, science. So in other words, it would be like me saying, all right, I want a tutor for my son for, say, math. So I want to hire his math, ninth grade math tutor, because he is a freshman, and I want to pay her. Now, is that right? No, it's not. It's unethical as far as the district is concerned.
Okay. So it's unethical in terms of the district. Now, what you're saying in terms of the favoritism, though, there's another level here, and the other level is the people that are paying for it. Let's talk beyond, you know, the transfer of money for this tutoring of the kids. The kids that are actually paying for it on the weekend, you're saying they're getting favoritism when it comes to playing time.
Correct. Yes. And that means the deck is stacked. And just think of how dehumanizing and demoralizing it is for other kids, because they discussed it in the locker room, and a lot of the kids really are upset about it. And it's very dehumanizing that, you know, everybody thought they had, hey, okay, some players are better, so those kids play. We understand that. You know, that's not the issue. The issue is, should volunteers be allowed to get paid when they're teaching a specific class, even though the district is not paying them? They came on, maybe they needed extra credits for college, you know? I understand that. But they came in to really parasite off of other kids, and they found an in to make money. So they're working the system from within, which I think is highly illegal, and the school does, but they just slap these kids on the, you know, these adults on the hands. And the parents that do it, and my feeling is, Dr. Patrick is, and Lisa, the parents that do this are as unethical. You see, in Beverly Hills, it's a very unique place. It's this little postage stamp in a big part of the city. And these parents have cheated all through AYSO, the Beverly Hills Basketball League, and also the Little League. In other words, if they're a director or a coach, they make sure the kid gets all the playing time, and they make sure that their kid gets on every all-star team when they don't deserve it. See, that's where it starts. It starts at a younger age, generated by the parents. You know, and now the kids that are playing, with all due respect to small kids, Doug Flutie was small, but all these kids that are 5'3", because they're paying, are playing, are first stringers, when the kids that are 6 feet tall that can really do a good job aren't playing as much, and they've had a losing season, 48-0, 55-0, 34, but because they're paying to play.
Yeah, Mike, I can certainly talk to the kids that are working hard in practice, that come to practice every day. They work hard. They put in their time. They have the talent. They have the abilities. And then they're superseded by these kids that are being favored, or the kids that are being tutored, or the transfer of money that's going on the weekend. That's certainly not fair, and it's makes the kids feel that are working hard, that are honestly working hard, you know, why should I show up and why should I work so hard if I'm not going to get a chance to play? And Lisa, you and I have talked about with several of our experts, as you get further up in the competitive ranks, right, as you go from peewee, you know, all the way up to youth to high school, it seems like as it gets more competitive, the better players get more playing time, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, but I also see this. We've seen this in Portland, very similar stuff. Like the kids who can afford to go to camps, often with the coaches, are the ones who end up on the team. I think this is pretty common.
Well, it is from the club perspective, I think. And I think Michael's got a different scenario going on, especially if it's against the rules. of the school for
the
for the
district. No, it is the school district, and let's say that there are four. Okay, for instance, when my son Nick was in eighth grade, we were at a school called Horace Mann. We could not hire one of his teachers, like his math teacher, from his school. We could go to a school called Hawthorne, and we could hire the, you know, the eighth grade math teacher from there. That is allowed. So, but no one from the exact class that you are in, and this is phys ed, is allowed. So it's a different situation. Now, in the summer, the athletic director, the varsity coach, and the phys ed coach, they all run a Beverly Hills Sports Academy, where every kid at the right after school's out, they all have to attend a month agility conditioning camp. So everyone pays $225. If you don't pay that, you can't play. Can you imagine? I mean, you're not allowed to play in sports for that school year because you didn't, you know, participate in this. It's a good camp. Don't misunderstand me. You know, and that's separate. So all the kids participate in that, all right? They're basically, you know, forced because if you don't do it, you're not going to play, you know? So that's a separate issue. But the main issue is that I have is that I think whatever school district it is, it's fine with favoritism. I can get along with that. I cannot get along pay to play because it sets the wrong tone. I think for many kids throughout the country in those districts or in those areas, when they have club sports, AYSO, you know, they have a club soccer team that's a higher level than AYSO. You know, we all know that. Some kids like it. But I think when kids go out daily, on a daily basis, sick as a dog with the flu or whatever, and they're practicing, and these kids who are just paying, okay, and I just think it's unconscionable. And I think the adults set the wrong tone, and that's why later in life, the ones that make it into pro sports, you know, they think that their name is God, so to speak.
Well, thank you so much for joining us and sharing your story, because I think it's an important one, and it definitely hurts the kids when they're treated this way.
Yeah, no, definitely. I agree. But, you know, listen, it's just adults, as I said, they'll always ruin it, and they've set this whole deal up for failure, you know, with these kids. That's the sad part. We'll see what happens. More to be revealed. Thank you so much.
To listen to the rest of this audio, visit kidssportspsychology.com.